night, well, I think I better tell my wife, I need to get out of this Cameron mood, you know. I just don't want to leave the cool place. But, okay, well, we'll be dealing with the Holy Spirit once again this week. Hopefully, we have gotten quite a lot last week. Okay, let's have a word of prayer first, especially for our brethren who are not well, and also ask God, the Holy Spirit, to take charge, okay, of this day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, thanking you for the multiple blessings that you have given to us, those we know, Lord, also those we are not even aware of. Lord, especially safety and health, especially, Lord, that we are able to come and walk. Unlike some of our brethren, Lord, some of them have to take care of their loved ones who are sick with fever, and I pray especially for Brother Denzel right now as he, Mr. Kim, as they manage Sharon, Sarah, and Ezel, who's having high fever. I pray, give doctors wisdom to at least know what to do, Lord. Pray for those who, the other people who aren't able to come because of one reason or another. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will also attend them and be with them. As you've promised, Lord, you're the comforter, and the comforter comforts. Lord, I pray for healing where there's a need. I pray, Father, for your influence and your intervention, Lord, to be in the lives of those people who really need it at this time. For those who are vacillating about coming, I pray you just help them to know it's a right thing, it's a good thing, it's a holy thing, Lord, to be in your house on the Lord's Day. So right now we commit this day into your hands. I pray for the Sunday school, I pray for the people, I pray for the children who have come, I pray for the impression of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, the Word of God taught to them, that when they hear it, Lord, they will be able to receive in their hearts, and that God, through the Holy Spirit's influence, they will grow in Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless this time. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to learn from your word, and to claim a promise that when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We thank you for this awesome promise. We thank you that we can come, hear your word, and grow in Christ. We pray you open our hearts to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is part two of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I just want to recap quickly, okay? What we did last week, we dealt with the person of the Holy Spirit, and also we dealt with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I just quickly go through, alright? I won't explain a lot. The person of the Holy Spirit, we dealt with the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, okay? There is no doubt in the scriptures, God calls him God. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is God, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person, whom you can grieve, who can speak, and he is actually personal as well. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than any spirit, because 1 John chapter 4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay? The Holy Spirit is also called the comforter. Okay? He comforts us whenever we're down. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit holds back and limits Satan's full power. When we were overseas, we were trying to keep in touch with some of the things that are happening. I think recently there was this big thing about the LGBTs and the books being withdrawn from the shelf, and how the people of the gay movement are trying to push for the books to be put back. I heard, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard that there were some of these group people who were actually wanting to go to the National Library and hand out these books, right, to the people that were coming. Is that true? Apparently, they were trying to kind of do that. And there were other things. Thank God for proper sense. At least our governmental authorities are pretty clear on their position of pro-family, okay? That we are for one man, one woman, all right? In the family, not one man, one woman, all right? For us, it might be a small thing, but over time, it will escalate. There seems to be an aggression. One of the people that we heard someone in authority actually said that they need to be very careful of this group because they're very aggressive, unreasonably aggressive, okay? You know what? Sin needs to be defended if I want to keep my lifestyle. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if you look at the scriptures, do you realize what is holding back this? And for all of us here, we still have so-called the normal traditional family structure. Okay, I was speaking to someone yesterday and just highlighting this fact that where is the absolute in all this? Are they right? Are we right? And they will often say, quote, that, oh, the conservative group says that it must be one man, one woman, whereas we need to be more liberal. Then who's right and who's wrong? I was speaking to someone who calls himself atheist yesterday, and he said, well, where's the right and wrong? But he did agree with one thing. There must be an absolute. Otherwise, no one is going to be right, no one's going to be wrong. It's a free-for-all. Okay, and we came back to the scriptures. The scripture says, in the beginning, God made male and female. That's the absolute. Okay, those who do not want to accept that, then you actually have to form your own conclusions, which is based from no foundation. Does it make sense? 1 + 1 = 2. For some people, 1 + 1 = 11. Is that true? Jingyi, for your PSLE, 1 + 1 = 2, not 11. Okay. Because in mathematical logic, it's 1 + 1 = 2, but 1 × 1 = 1. All right. So we have to be very clear. There is an absolute. Okay. And the reason why I highlight this is because of the next one. Holy Spirit holds back and limits Satan's power. Okay. The Holy Spirit actually holds back and limits Satan's power in this particular age. And so we need to be. And how does he do that? Through Christians. When we make a stand, we actually hold back sin. When we make a stand, we actually hold back sin. And I can tell you, in the months and the years to come, there's going to be an escalation of issues. And as Christians, we need to come to a point that we will stand on God's side. And we may just need, not just for our children's sake, but for the truth's sake, we will need to contend earnestly. All right? So, the Holy Spirit holds back and limits Satan's power. The Holy Spirit convicts men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit anoints, empowered, and raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, just very quickly, I'll go. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, He regenerates us. This is for those who just joined in. This is a recap of last week, okay? The Holy Spirit regenerates us. All right? He baptizes us into Christ at salvation. Some churches teach there's a second blessing. There is no such thing. You never find that in the scriptures. It was never taught. But we are baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus, okay? And then, point 3 is He indwells us. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. He seals us and He fills us, all right? Today we're going to be talking about, but any questions first on the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit? I know I've gone a bit fast. If you need any clarification, if you're not too sure, remember this. Like a Sunday school, all right? In school you can ask questions, okay? Not during the service. All right, but any questions? Okay, if not, let's move on. All right, if you have, just put up your hand. Just try to do something to catch my attention. We will deal with it in detail. Today, we want to look at the actions of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I hope all of us have notes. Does everyone have notes? You can fill up. Okay, just take them, and we're going to be dealing with the actions of the Holy Spirit. What does He do in our life? What He does in our lives? We're going to be dealing with a number of passages. Yeah, being the Holy Spirit, the Bible is the best teacher, and so we're going to use that. So let's turn to a few passages, all right? In Romans chapter 8, let's start there. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I'll try to zip through. I'm trying to calculate the timing for each point so we don't get past our time. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, let's read that together. Okay, we'll start there. After I will just distribute the different verses. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27. Let's read together. Ready? This is a wonderful, wonderful verse about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Let's read it in verse 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. Ready? 1, 2. Just wait for a while. 1, 2, begin. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, in some churches, this verse is taken to mean that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. And with that phrase, they say that's where tongues come in. with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's where tongues come in. The question, the clear point of the verse is with groanings which cannot be spoken. It doesn't come out. And groanings is something that happens inside of us. Or you can groan with a sound, but it cannot be uttered. Okay, what does this verse mean? The Bible says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities means weaknesses. In the context of Romans 8, is trials and tribulations that come into our lives. And sometimes, we are so weak, the Holy Spirit has to help us in our weakness, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When we go through trials, sometimes you just don't know what to do, don't know what to say. Would you agree with that? Sometimes you say, I'm at the end of my line, I don't know what to do. That's what Paul is intimating here. But that's the blessing of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit itself, Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, the phrase groanings which cannot be uttered means there are times when you come to the point in your life and trials are so heavy, you just don't know what to say anymore. All you can hear is like, oh God, you know, the idea there is all there of a sigh. It's just don't know what to do now. But you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. I go on to 27, then I wrap up the whole gist of this. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we are weak. Okay, I'll just go in point four. We are weak. We don't know what to do. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, according to the scriptures, will pray on our behalf. When we don't know what to say, we're sighing. So, when he that searches the hearts, that refers to Christ, knows what the Holy Spirit is thinking, because they're God, the reason why he knows is because he then makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Okay, let me explain it. Okay, this is me. I'm a stone. I have problems. The Holy Spirit is here in my life. Lord Jesus Christ is making intercession for me. I'm going through a tough time. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit knows. He brings the request to God on our behalf, according to the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ, who searches our hearts, knows what the Holy Spirit means, and then prays for us according to the will of God. Does it make sense? This is one of the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. And how many of you have I think the only way I probably can actually explain this. How many of you have gone through a tough time and then suddenly things just worked out? Yeah? Some of you probably have. You know why? The Holy Spirit takes our heart's groanings that we don't know what to say, don't know what to do. He understands the Lord Jesus Christ, who prays for us before the Father, knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, takes our requests and intercedes for us and aligns our difficult situation to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Does it make sense? I don't know about you, but there's a wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit for a Christian. And sometimes we think, the Holy Spirit is not just about signs and wonders in some churches, but you realize from the scriptures, you know what this means when you're in the deepest of your despair? You don't have to despair. Because someone else who knows you better will help you. Does it make sense? He helps our infirmities. He brings us our request to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who prays for us, aligns what we need with the will of God to accomplish the best for us. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Any questions? I don't know about you, that's encouraging. When I studied this, if you look at the structure of the verse, that's why in verse 28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. I don't know about you, but it's exciting, because when you see the link of how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives to bring things together, all things work together for good. And it's not something that we kind of, okay lah, you know, okay, Sarah, whatever will be, you know, the future not us to see. We have confidence in this life. If you read the later verses, you see, you realize that Paul was so confident. Verse 31, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? God be for us, who can be against us? You know? Any questions? don't know what else to say, but just hopefully you glean the blessing of this passage as instrumental in your life. In the deepest time of despair, go to this verse and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you do. So I submit to whatever your plan is, and trust Christ to align our needs with his plan. And then believe, Lord, your word says, all things will work together. I trust you. I love you. I submit to you. Whatever you... You know, when you actually have that kind of submission, things look brighter. All right? Any questions? All right, he prays for us. Number two, he guides us. Let's look at Romans 8. Okay, Romans 8, same passage. Romans 8, 14. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? This verse highlights the outcome. If you are a genuine believer, you will be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? The Bible says here, the word led there is important. The word led there has the idea of being driven by the Holy Spirit. A person whose life is driven by the Holy Spirit shows that he is a Christian. A person who lives by the flesh all the time and wants to do things only on the flesh all the time and have no qualms about doing things in the flesh all the time, according to this scripture, he's not a child of God. Now, I know some people say, but Brother Johnny, in certain areas, you know, I want to do, but certain areas, you know, I find it hard. You know, that those areas are disobedience. Those areas where we have to learn to let go. But in general, when we know what is true and want to follow it, we are led by the Spirit of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, guides us as he guided the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay? Now, that tells us also, sometimes the Holy Spirit does bring us in situations that he will make it hard for us, not deliberately, but with a purpose of helping us grow. Like those in primary school now, PSLE, you will be brought to a place of studying. You study very hard. And sometimes you wish, why must call exam? Huh? Why don't I? I'm going to have exam on play. Exam on something that I don't have to do anything. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit does guide us in all parts of our lives, okay? Sometimes also into difficulties as well. Okay, any questions? He guides us. Okay, the next one. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Maybe I'll get... if Lydia, you can turn 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 27. Maybe if Jingyi, do you think you can take 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Okay, two verses. Just read loud and clear. Okay, the next point is, yours is 1 John 2, 27. Next point is, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Okay, there's another things that he does in our life. 1 John 2, 27. Okay, but the anointing, what does the anointing refer to? Anyone? What does the anointing refer to? Refers to don't be shy. The Holy Spirit of God, okay? The anointing which we have received. Every one of us, when we trusted Christ, have the Holy Spirit. Okay? All of us, we have the Holy Spirit. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and he need not any man teach you. And so some people say, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't need any man to teach me. Right or not? Holy Spirit in me, what? I don't need anyone to teach. I just study the Bible and everything will be fine. That's true to a certain extent. In the context, is there are some people who actually just don't want to listen to anyone. Okay? Or rather, there are some people who were being taught the wrong things, and they were following blindly. And John is writing to them that you have the Holy Spirit in you. As you read the Bible, God will teach you personally. Alright? After this, we talk about another ministry of Holy Spirit is to give gifted men to teach as well. Okay? Church and other teachers coming in to teach is also the will of God. Alright? Okay? It is pride when we feel we don't need anyone else to teach us. It is pride. Okay, I'm not saying that, well, Brother Johnny, I do know some things. Yes, we all know. But you know, there must be the place whereby we are willing to learn. All right? In humility. Okay? Next one, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 14. Words which wisdom teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thank you. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That simply means comparing scripture with scripture. Okay, whatever God says, you compare it with a spiritual thing, so that we can learn. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Okay, the Holy Spirit teaches us clearly. That's what the scriptures teach. Okay, any questions? Okay, next one is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, maybe I just thought, how does the Holy Spirit teach us? Through the preaching of God's word right now. Sometimes, Brother Johnny, I don't understand this verse. Then you come to a service, or you're reading a Bible, and or you hear a sermon, or you read a devotion. Oh, that's what the verse means. And when the truth is impressed in your heart, okay, that's when the Holy Spirit actually teaches you. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, let's move on. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Maybe we'll get Joanna, you can take Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then if Catherine, you can take Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Okay, Acts 1:8, it empowers us for soul winning. Okay. One of the biggest ministries of the Holy Spirit is to empower believers to preach the gospel of Christ. A lot of people claim that the first sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit is the speaking of tongues. You will not find that in the scriptures. Although the consequence of Acts 2 seems to suggest that, but Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you will open your mouth and preach Jesus Christ. That is the biblical outcome of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Maybe Catherine, you can read Acts chapter 4, verse 31. That actually reinforces this point. Okay, when they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay, and what was the context of this? Peter and James and John were being arrested by the Pharisees for preaching the gospel. They were threatened and said, "Don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus again, otherwise we're going to have it with you." They went back, reported to the church. The church prayed, "God give us boldness that we may continue to speak." Okay? In verse 20, "And Lord, now behold, there are threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were so bold that you realize in Acts chapter 4, many, many people trusted Christ as a result. And actually the testimony of the church expanded, because they didn't pray for deliverance from the situation. They prayed for power to remain firm to what God wanted them to do. And God blessed them. And there were many people who trusted Christ as a result. Okay? The Holy Spirit empowers us for soul winning. And that's an important point. The next one, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Please stop me, alright? If there's a lingering thought in your mind. Romans 5. I'm trying to move fast so that we can deal with the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5, this is an interesting one. The Holy Spirit imparts the love of Christ to us. Romans 5, verse 5, maybe Leandra, you can take Romans 5, verse 5. And then Allison, you can take 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Let's move a bit faster. And then Brother Timothy, you can take 2 Corinthians 3, 18. And Brother Desmond, if you don't mind, you take Ephesians 3, 16. And Sister Jamie, 1 Corinthians 2, 10. And Sister Vivian, if you can also refer to Romans 8, 16 later. All right? Romans 5, verse 5, loud and clear. This is an exciting verse. When the Holy Spirit imparts the love of Christ to us. Now, just think of what the Holy Spirit does. When we get saved, He comes into us, right? We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That is a scriptural teaching. The word shed abroad literally means passively poured out. There's two words, passive and poured out. So when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. We are the passive recipient of the pouring out of the love of Christ into our hearts. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So which means that we are incapable of divine love. Yes? In the flesh, we cannot love people unconditionally. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your lives, according to this verse, the grammar says we passively receive the outpouring of Holy Spirit and His love into our lives. That's why an absolute murderer like Paul can give his life for someone else. And that's why Paul can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit that works in his life. Does it make sense? It imparts it. So every Christian has the capability of loving someone unconditionally. Not because of your own strength, but when we submit to the working of the Holy Spirit, we can forgive. We can love someone unconditionally. We can forget whatever they've done bad to us and forgive. I was speaking to a Filipino one time, and he said, Brother Johnny, I've been angry with this particular lady. He was a young boy at the time, and this lady really said something at his young age that he couldn't forget. Now, some of us may have that kind of experience, where from young, someone said something to you, and you were so filled with anger that, for a long time, you just could not forgive or doesn't want to see it. Don't want to look at your face. But the moment you trusted Christ, he said, Brother Johnny, 1 or 2 weeks later, I just called her and started talking like there's nothing between us. I told him that is the love of God in your life, and he's moved on spiritually and learned to love. And why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Okay, that's an encouragement, because sometimes we may meet Christians who are so bitter in your life. Have you met people like that? Bitter with life, bitter with people, and no, I can never forgive. You know why? Simply because they've never allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of their lives. When God says here, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Right? Does that make sense? Any questions? Right, let's move on, okay? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom. He gives us liberty. From what? From sin. The moment we trust Christ, we no longer have to be sinning against God. I cannot give up my anger. I cannot give up my gambling. Yes, you can. Don't give me that reason, cannot, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you can. Because you have freedom. Sometimes it requires a fight. Sometimes it does require us to submit, but the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can have freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from the flesh, freedom to do what is right. Freedom to do what is right. There is a tenet of Baptist principle, right, or a Bible principle. Is this principle called soul liberty? Have you heard of that, soul liberty? Soul liberty simply means, in the Baptist circles and actually biblically, we believe that's God's will. All of us have a free will to choose what to believe. Okay? If you believe that there are aliens in this world, you have absolute soul liberty to believe that. Alright? Doesn't mean it's right. But if you want to, there are some churches who actually believe today that there are such a thing as aliens. Alright? They live on another planet, and they quoted Genesis 6, there are giants in the earth and that kind of thing. You have absolute liberty to believe that. But doesn't mean it's right. But when the Holy Spirit gives us freedom, He gives us freedom from sin, gives us freedom to do what is right, okay? Doing what is right according to the will of God, not according to what we think. That's important. Sometimes we use the phrase soul liberty to justify our actions. When our actions is against the will of God, it is not liberty, it is disobedience. Does that make sense? Make it clear, okay? I have absolute soul liberty. If God calls my family to Timbuktu, no one can say it's wrong. As long as I... Because if God calls us as a family to Timbuktu to be missionaries, You can just say Matthew 28 says we have to go and believe God calls us to Timbuktu. And we go there, and you know the fruit of our ministry there will reveal the will of God. If you go there and everything crashes and all that kind of thing, and family just start tearing apart, then there may be other reasons. It might not be the will of God. Okay? But you know what? The Holy Spirit gives us liberty to do what is right according to His will. Okay? So, Christians, sometimes we are bound by... Sometimes we are blind to ourselves, blind to our sin. But when we truly submit to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, frees the shackles so that we can do the right thing. Can I say this? When you make a decision based on the preaching of God's word, or you hear a message and you say, Lord, help me, I submit to you, the Holy Spirit comes in to free those shackles as you submit and confess your sins. You say, now you're free. That's why it's so important when you hear the word of God, respond. Respond. Because the Holy Spirit is all ready to do your work. Okay? To free us. The Lord Jesus says in John 8:31, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free. And when ye shall, if you know, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Okay? There are some Christians that, I don't know about you, do you know of any Christians who you just can't knock them down? If you go down, they just come up again. Why? The Holy Spirit, they are in submission to the Holy Spirit. Many missionaries are like that on the field. They have to be. They have to depend on Holy Spirit. They have to depend on God, the Holy Spirit, to help them keep on in the ministry. Right? The Holy Spirit gives us freedom. All right? Any questions? The next one, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Okay, the Holy Spirit conforms us to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit conforms us to the image of Christ. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face. This has reference in context. Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai? Were they able to look at his face? Why? Why? Sorry? He met with God. Okay, what did he have to do? He had to put a veil. He said, Moses, how come your face so bright here today? You know? And he had to put a veil over it. So can you please put a veil over your face? Imagine Moses with a veil coming into this room. He cannot look upon the face of Moses. Why? Because he spent time with God. Alright? The context of the open face has to do with the veil being lifted. Paul says, when we were non-believers, we didn't see the glory of God. Our faces were closed. But now that it's been lifted, because the Holy Spirit came in, enlightens us, that we might see the truth. Okay? Paul then says, now with open face, with the veil lifted, the Holy Spirit now evident in our lives. What does He do? We look in a glass, the glory of the Lord. The glory of God. Understanding, the Holy Spirit opens our understanding. Now we look in a glass. When you look in a glass, what do you see? In the morning, Sister Charlene, I'm sure you use glass in the morning. What do you see in the morning, the glass? Mirror image of yourself, right? Okay, how many of you
see a mirror image of someone else?
I don't know my wife remember. I think last night, I had a nightmare of some sort last night. Maybe I've been too much in camera to relax. So they come back to reality,
I saw someone running out of the room. Then I shouted,
Yeah, I wasn't looking in the mirror, thank God.
Because otherwise I would frighten myself. But
when you look in a glass, the Bible actually tells us, what is a glass in the Bible? Do you think of any verses that refers to glass in the Bible? Anyone? Okay, the sea of glass. Okay. Let's turn to James. To James. And if you can cross-reference it, I believe Paul had this in mind to a certain extent. Okay, or at least the Holy Spirit was consistent when he wrote the scriptures. James chapter 1, in verse 23. Let me just read that. Ready? I'll just read that now. You follow along. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. James is saying that's illogical. No one sees himself in the glass, a pimple there, a hair out of place, and does nothing to it. But in verse 25, but whoso looketh into a perfect law of liberty, the Bible is referred to as a glass. Okay? Now, if you put it in context to 2 Corinthians 3:18 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we all with open face, now our eyes are enlightened to see what God has for us, we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Okay? Now, in the context, it's like in a mirror. But the scriptures teach us that the Bible is also a mirror. So when we look with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, when we look in the Bible, we see the glory of Christ. Don't we not? The scriptures reflect the glory of God. Okay? We reflect the glory of God. Then when we are here with the Holy Spirit, this is, you know, just look up here. We are here. We are looking at the Bible. The Bible says we are changed into the image here. We are conformed to that image here. Alright? From glory to glory. That means step by step. From glory to glory. How? As by the Spirit of the Lord. The process of spiritual growth is actually very simple for the Christian. Face the book. Not Facebook. Face the book. Wherein dwells the image of Christ, His character, His attributes. As you face the book, God, the Holy Spirit, as we submit to it, changes us step by step into the image of Christ. Does it make sense? You know what it means? Your character from year to year should be better. Your character, your attitudes towards life, towards God, towards the things of God should improve with time. As you spend continuous time in the presence of God, submitting to God, studying His Word, allowing Him to change you through service, through your actions and obedience. Does it make sense? And that is all the secret workings of the Holy Spirit. We don't say, hey, today, have I grown? Have I grown spiritually? You don't have to do that. Just keep doing the right things. Just keep doing the right things. Just keep doing the right things. When I was in KK, they taught us that KK always liked to use philosophies from big corporations. So they give us an illustration of the Japanese corporation. After World War II, what the Japanese did was invited a lot of Americans over to give them, help them to rebuild the economy, right? But one of the things the HR was teaching us about is that what the Japanese did was they focused on process, 100% on process. Because their belief is this, if they've broken it down, and if the process is done right, the outcome will be right. Agree? If the process is right, the outcome will be right. And that's what we need to attend to. Sometimes, oh, I'm not like that. Don't worry about the like that. Just do what you need to do now. Okay? Does it make sense? And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We let Him do His work, alright? He conforms us to the image of Christ. Okay? For what purpose? Oh, sorry, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, so He conforms us to the image of Christ. Any questions? Okay, the next one is He strengthens our new nature. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay. Paul is praying for the Ephesian Christians and he's asking God to grant them out of God's riches that they be strengthened. The word strengthened, interestingly, is a passive phrase again. Can you see how much the Holy Spirit does for us? What does it mean? For example, let's say if I'm trying to fight someone bigger than me, okay? And I'm unable to overcome him in my own strength. You know what God, the Holy Spirit does? When I pray, He reinforces with His strength. Okay? My strength is still 20%. But 80% is being poured into me. And that's not my strength. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit to help me overcome. This strengthened with might in the inner man, in the new man, has reference to the Holy Spirit coming in to strengthen. It's kind of like maybe a small army with maybe 10 men fighting this whole battalion of 1,000 people. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, it's like two brigades coming. Does it make sense? Two brigades means one brigade is about how many men? 700? No, 1,000, 2,000, about 2,000 plus. All right? To come in to fight against. Does that make sense? Can you see very much? You know how much the Holy Spirit does for us? All we need to do is ask Him. Say, God, I cannot do it. Please help me. And Lord, I'll just submit to whatever you want, you know. And the Holy Spirit comes in. The Bible says, Paul is praying that you will be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit of God. For what purpose? If you read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. In verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Some Christians don't have Christ as King in their lives. Okay? Being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Why did Paul pray for the Ephesian Christians to be strengthened with might in the inner man? That they may understand the love of God? A Christian who genuinely understand the unconditional love of God will not live the way they live today. Example, if I know Jesus gave His life for me and I fully appreciate what He has done, I will love someone more. Agree? I just have to because of what He's done for me. And if I appreciate the love of Jesus Christ who died for my sin and that I deserve to go to hell and yet He still saved me, I'm not going to play with that sin anymore. I'm not going to play with that sin anymore. Why? It was that sin who destroyed Christ at the cross. Of course, on the third day, He rose again. When I fully understand that, I will live a different life. I will. You have to. That's why, if you read the New Testament, everyone who came face to face with Christ, when they were converted, they were totally changed. I believe with all my heart, we need to get back to biblical change. If there is no change in our life, if there's no willingness to give up sin in our life, we have to come to say, Lord, help me through your might and your spirit to overcome this. All right? The Holy Spirit does this for us as well. All right? Any questions? Okay, the next one. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Okay, the how many of you in your life have said, Roger, I don't really understand the Bible? In some parts, some of us probably as you grow in Christ, you understand. The Bible says that another ministry of the Holy Spirit action is He reveals Bible truths to us. Reveals Bible truths. Some people say, no, like, Jesus cannot be God. You know why? The Holy Spirit has not illuminated the heart of the man. For all of us, we know Jesus Christ is God. Why? The Holy Spirit has taught you that truth. Okay? Taught you that Jesus was born of a virgin, all right? Jesus rose from the dead. These are Bible truths. It's the Holy Spirit that opens this truth to us. When you speak to someone about Christ and he's not a Christian, you say, no, that's not possible. Why? It's a heavenly truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. So if you're not too sure what the Bible says, ask, if you're a Christian, say, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher, teach me, show me. And you ask God to open your eyes, all right? He does reveal Bible truth to us. And then Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children. Okay, the Holy Spirit assures us of salvation. No one else, not even me as your pastor, can tell you you are a Christian and you are going to heaven. I cannot. Only the Holy Spirit has that right. The Scripture states that the Holy Spirit bears witness. Yes, Brother Song Ling is saved. Yes, Sister Leandra is on his way to heaven. Only the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying this, I'm just saying, I'm pretending I'm the Holy Spirit. And bearers witness means what? When the Lord Jesus Christ says, why should I let Lydia into heaven? The Holy Spirit says, he's your child. I already talked it over with her spirit. Bearers witness. I can affirm she's a child of God. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the earnest. He is your down payment. He comes into your lives. He recognizes you. Alright? So, He assures us of salvation. So, Brother Johnny, what happens when a person doubts their salvation? How many of you have doubted your salvation before? I'm sure many of us have. Yeah. And when we doubted our salvation, why do we doubt our salvation? It could be that we are saved, you know. But of course, spiritually, There may be things happening in our life. There may be sin in our life that sometimes we just can't see that. Okay? Let me ask you a question. My child, Adele will always be the son of Gideon and Daughter. Same thing, son, daughter. No, just kidding. The daughter of Gideon and Rachel, right? Okay? As she grows up, she knows. Will she doubt that? This is my papa. This is my mama. Will she doubt? She won't. Unless she kind of strays away and even going to maybe backslide, goes far away. So she may have the thought that, say, no, I don't know whether my papa still wants me or that kind of thought. But you know what? She will always know that she belongs to Gideon and Rachel. Does it make sense? A genuine child of God will not doubt to the point that he will completely... There's always the presence of God. Why? Because the seed of God is in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. Okay? When you doubt your salvation, a few things. One, examine yourself. Is there sin? Is there sin? A lot of Christians, because of sin in their life, doubt their salvation. That's exactly what the devil wants you to be in. You know why? If you can doubt your salvation, you will be totally ineffective for Christ. Totally. Because you don't know where you stand. Okay? That's why stay away from sin, focus on Christ, and the Holy Spirit will assure you of your salvation. Alright? That's his job. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Yes. Oh, okay. If a person is saved but is not interested in the things of God, I would give the counsel of Paul and say, well, then generally you need to check your salvation. You need to check your salvation. That's all I can say. Examine the salvation. If he's not interested in the things of God, if something happens to your family, although you're far away, would you be interested? Do you know what I mean? There is always that blood tie. I mean, I'm using earthly illustration to demonstrate heavenly meaning. But the Bible is very clear. I've seen a lot of Christians come through ambassador, go out, after totally no interest whatsoever. And the Bible says return to their own vomit. You know what? It means essentially they have never been changed in character. You see, we can profess. Yeah. Based on the scriptures, if they profess Christ but yet have no interest, there's no fruit. Does that make sense? If there's no fruit, can indicate that the seed is not growing or there's no seed in the first place. Do you agree with that? Well, then in that case, it can be because of the world, but the scriptures is pretty clear that when you actually, no matter how, there will be a consciousness of God. There will be a consciousness of God. There will be the sense that the Holy Spirit, just like a mom and dad who nags the children, the Holy Spirit will nag. But of course, it comes to a point of time that if they have consistently rejected the Holy Spirit and the prompting, if you are a Christian, the voice will get softer. And God will just give you up. That's a hard question because God makes the final decision. Okay? When a person says he's saved and yet has no fruit, as pastor, I'm always concerned. That's all I can say. Okay? We are not to... We can't make judgment whether a person is saved or not, but we can make judgment whether the person has fruit or not. We are fruit inspectors. We are not judges. So if a person says he's saved, I will take this, I will just... accept the fact that he's safe. Because he said so. Okay? Because humanly, I will never be able to see the heart, whether it's changed or not. But Jesus did say in the Bible, Matthew 12, 34 and 35, 36, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. That means, when I say I'm a Christian, if my words don't back it up, you know what happens? By my words, God will condemn me. You say you're a Christian, but no fruit. How? Does that make sense? So in this life, I don't believe it is our job to say whether a person is safe or not. But certainly we can kind of be very concerned if there's no fruit. And we need to pray, God, please manifest fruit. You know, Lord, if it's a parent, and Lord, give them evidence of the person's salvation that I can be sure of. Remember, in this life, God didn't call us to be judges of people's salvation. In fact, Matthew chapter 13 teaches us, remember the wheat and the tares? The wind and the tares, they all grow beside, and they're both alight. You know what Jesus says? The servant says, shall we go and chop off all these people? You know what Jesus says? Leave them alone. Let me do the final purging at the end. Our job is to encourage everyone to grow towards Christ by the life of love. But when it comes to mind, a person don't show fruit, genuine Christians in their hearts will be praying for these people and encourage them. And of course, if they do things to hurt other sheep, as pastor, I need to rebuke them. But if they don't accept counsel, sooner or later they will leave the church. And then later on, their true selves will reveal themselves. And sometimes it could be a period of time. Our job is to keep on by God's grace to dunk and dunk and dunk and dunk. D-U-N-G, not dunk. Dunk, D-U-N-G, dunk. You know dunk? In Luke chapter 13, there was no fruit. And then the person in charge said, cut this tree down, no? Why cumbereth it the ground? Then the farmer came, Lord, give me this year. I will dig about it, I'll dunk it, I'll put in some effort. If at the end of the day there's no fruit, then cut it down. But if there is, fine. Does that make sense? So live as a Christian, always concerned for Christians' growth. Alright, looking at their fruit. If there's fruit, praise God for it. If there's no fruit, pray that God will produce that fruit. And yeah, sometimes we say, is this person safe or not? I think the question is up for God to answer. Oh, God knows his heart totally. Just like Lot. If you read Lot in the Old Testament, you will never think he's safe. He was so... And by the way, if you take Lot as an example, as a Christian, we can be so sinful and still go to heaven. I'm not encouraging us to sin, I think you know, right? But you know, ultimately, Jesus said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a criteria, by faith, putting in Christ, repentance from sin. Okay? Now, sometimes it's very hard to... If you repent from sin and trust Christ, then you go back to sin, it's like... In two passages of Scripture, when a person claims he's a Christian, after a while, he goes back to his old life. The Scriptures does teach that it could be that he may not be a Christian in the first place because there's no change. Okay? The pig is returned to its vomit. In other words, the character is not changed. Does it make sense? But for us, practically as Christians, our goal is never in love to doubt this person is safe when he says he's safe. But of course, if he's smoking and playing around and do things, like that, okay, you better check your salvation. Are you sure you're a Christian? All right, there's some churches say, who are you to judge? God does call us to be fruit inspectors. If you're living in sin and think it's okay, that's a big problem. I say again, if you think that as a Christian you're living in sin and disobedience and think you're okay, that's a big problem. The Holy Spirit of God needs to be poking you to the point. All right, just like a mom and dad would nag a child. Say, oh, you never do your homework. Oh, you never do your homework. Oh, you never do your homework. Because why? The Holy Spirit loves you. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? There are besetting sins, yes. It has to do with the attitude. If the besetting sin, then Christians say, can you pray for me? I need to overcome this. The world is a different thing. No? Besetting sin is a different thing. All of us have secret sins, known only to God. And all of us struggle quietly. And some of us may share with a close friend, I'm having this difficulty, please pray for me. Does it make sense? That's why you, counselors, pastors, pastor's wife, are they all involved in helping in secret to protect the reputation of this brother or sister so they can grow. Okay, but if a person says, no, I'm going to say, okay, that's me, what? You can't blame me, what? I'm just human. When you give those reasons and excuse that, I would be very concerned. Because a genuine believer will feel something if he offends his loving father. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Any questions? Yes. What makes you think I'm judging you? Unless you're highlight. Then a person, okay, how do I respond? The person who says that, I would, for me, okay, I'm not making assumptions. The person who actually highlights to you, don't judge me, I would assume out of love you're trying to help the person. Does that make sense? Maybe for yourself, or then the person will say, hey, I don't think you should be doing this. Then the person goes, well, who are you to judge? If it's personal sin, and you know it's there, okay, and you're not committing that sin, I believe with all my heart, as a brother or a sister in Christ, in private, there's every right as a Christian to help that person by helping the person see. Because the Bible teaches Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A genuine friend will highlight a weakness, a failure, a sin in another person's life. Okay? A genuine friend. Although the other person don't like it. It doesn't matter. Why? The person wants the person to change. However, then going over to the other side, it could be in pride. Say, who are you to judge me? What I'm doing is I'm pushing a wall. Don't get involved here. I want my darkness. Get out of my life. I've had that said to me before. Also, get out of my life. I don't want you to interfere. In that situation, I back off and leave that person to the Holy Spirit. Nothing you can do. When a person, I've learned one thing, if a person doesn't want help, you can't help him. Humanly. But we can still pray for that person. Because I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he's not going to be able to resist what the Holy Spirit will do. And yeah, it may take a process of time. The Holy Spirit is overpowering. He can break down the person. But if he genuinely belongs to God, God will not let the person go. And if the person still resists, God says, okay, you're coming home. Okay? So you realize the scriptures have actually very clear steps that we can take. Alright? So always consult the Holy Spirit. Read the word. God will give us. We can't change the world. But we can help whoever wants to be helped. I just received an SMS just now who is saying that someone who has not been in church for a long time wants to come back, but there's that struggle. So we need to pray for these people. And it's been for years. Okay? So does that make sense? Okay, if I start on the next one, the Holy Spirit gifts, it's going to take us an hour and a half. So I think I'll stop here. Next week, we will finish this. So we'll probably take... I'll try to squeeze everything next week because I want to start on the music series in August. Okay? Music. Any questions? Yes. Okay. God won't give anything of his spirit to an unbeliever. He can't. Personality. Some people are very open one. Anything you punch them in the face, take out their teeth, they still laugh at you and say, that no problem. Some people are just happy go lucky, you know, you hit me never mind, you know. Okay, like, 小事, never mind one, it's okay one. And they're very ta-fang, you know, very open. And of course, I'm secretly maybe inside, maybe at the back of your mind, she'll give it to you. Yeah. But you know, some maybe, and their motivations may be different. Oh, okay. See, the spiritual gifts next time. It's interesting. Some people can love so much. I say, what's the difference from that and this person? The difference is this person is going to hell. They don't have the Spirit of God. And whatever they do is their own strength. You know, the human spirit is so... God has put in us a human spirit, which is dead to Christ, but they can accomplish amazing feats. People has climbed Mount Everest, they go down the deepest ocean, they can do amazing feats. Sometimes even to the point of allowing themselves. Okay, for example, the jihadists right now, those people declaring holy war, they're willing to burn themselves up, to kill people in the name of their religion. Why? Whatever they've been taught. Yes. Sure. Does that make sense? I think that's an appropriate answer in terms of we're all created in image of God. So love, everyone has capability of love, to love. Okay? And so I think the key thing is the motivation is different. And if you look at the annals of the testimony of Mother Teresa, oftentimes held up in Christian circles as a more noble lady, many times in her own personal struggles, she has yet, in her own words, found salvation. And she's hoping to do a lot more so that she can gain that. So it's a sad thing when you understand some of the deep thinking and writings of these people. I can only base my judgment on what she wrote of herself, that's all. Okay, I could be wrong, but I'm saying that if she writes that, even other people, other founders of the faith have said that, ask the disciples, go and look for salvation, for I have not found mine. Yes. Brother Esmond. We love him because he first loved us. We are doing all this for Christ. What to say, Elizabeth, brothers, me, to put together my wife. Any questions? A lot of things that some Christian lady, when a Christian man is more patient than my husband was a Christian, for example. But that's to our shame. You know what? The capability of, that's why over time, when the Holy Spirit fills us, there must be change as a Christian. It's not possible there's no change. Because if the love of God is spreading in our lives, shed abroad, passively, into our hearts, there will be that change. Okay, sometimes we look at the world and where we don't understand some of the spiritual things. I'm glad. Okay, hopefully we always have this culture of trying to understand the scriptures, understand who the Lord is, not based on our own understanding, but based on what God says. Hopefully we'll grow. Remember, our growth mustn't be in a worldly view. Our growth must be towards Christ, in understanding how He works in our lives. Okay, so when we serve, when we give to people, when we help, it's all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He has done for us. Right? Any questions? Okay, if not, we'll keep the... If you have any questions on the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'll deal with that next week, alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You have given us a calmness in the Spirit today to understand Your precious word. And I pray the Holy Spirit will teach us with such power. We pray for our brethren who are sick overseas and especially the little ones, Lord, the brother and sister's family. I pray You raise him up quickly. I pray specifically on Pastor Selva. Thank You. He's a bit stable today, but yet, Lord, we still have to pray that, Lord, the bone marrow transplant will work in his life. Father, preserve his life in his heart. He feels there's still things that he needs to do, and yet, God, he's going through a terrible time. But yet, Lord, You are still in control of this situation, and men and women of God all over the world are praying for him. I pray You raise him up, Pastor Selva, and ask You, Lord, to use him once again as a testimony to the grace of God. Thank You for what You're going to do. Bless us, even in the service to follow. We pray Your Holy Spirit truly will be our teacher, and that we might give glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, who deserves all our honor and praise and worship because of what He's done for us. We thank You. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.